Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Last Wednesday was October 21st, 2015, which was the date made famous from the movie Back to the Future Part 2. That was the date in which young Marty McFly would have to go 30 years into the future to repair the mistakes of his future son. And of course, Michael J. Fox's character, Marty McFly, has already had to travel 30 years into the past in the first Back to the Future movie to repair the misadventures of his parents and improve the present lives of his family in 1985. In our gospel, Jesus enters Jericho, a town with a long history. Jericho is the oldest known walled city in the world, and perhaps it is also the oldest continually inhabited city in the world. It is located in the West Bank, which continues to have a rather intense weekly source of conflict going on there. Jericho only has about 18,000 people in it, and yet we all know about Jericho. It's described in the Hebrew Bible as the city of palm trees, and it's always had numerous springs, which is why people moved there in the first place. Jericho is also famous for the children of Israel because Joshua led the Israelite army to capture Jericho. Remember Joshua, one of the judges who was a warrior? He headed into Canaan, having crossed the Jordan River, and they marched around the walls of the city for 6 days, carrying the tabernacle. And then on the seventh day, they gave a great shout, and the walls fell. That's the part we remember. The part that we don't talk about so much was that after that, Joshua and the Israelite army killed every man, woman, and child in the town, except for Rahab, the prostitute, and her family, because they had welcomed the Israelites. We cannot travel in time and repair the past in a DeLorean as much as we would like to. We don't know whether it was necessary to destroy Jericho for the Israelites to find a place of their own. We can only speculate. But roughly 1,000 or so years later, Jesus comes to Jericho and the surrounding area, this time not leading an army, but bringing healing and various stories to change lives. In fact, the Samaritan was healed on the road to Jericho. In this future, in Jericho, Jesus comes and crowds greet him. They fill the dusty road and follow him throughout the town, and then we see a moment when they're following him out of town. And there is a blind man who is a beggar. He's in his accustomed spot on the side of the road. This blind man has been sitting there year after year, begging, listening to the sounds of the road. He's familiar with the sound of the sheep and goats, the clop of the horses. He knows the sounds of soldiers and carts, chatter of children and the cries of babies. He can tell what's going on by the voices in the crowd. Then he hears that it is Jesus of Nazareth, who's coming by. And he must have known something about Jesus because he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." All those years of waiting, of enduring, and somehow he knew this was the Jesus he had heard of, and this cut deeply into his need. He had been holding on to some form of hope all those years that he might see again. As he was yelling, people were saying, "Hush," or maybe even more rudely, "Would you just shut up?" And he kept shouting. He simply called louder. And then Jesus stood still. He stood still in the middle of the road. He heard the blind man's cries and said, "Call him here." So the crowd did. They got to him, the message got passed down, and they said, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Imagine him getting up and throwing off that cloak and moving through the crowd, arms out, grasping him, helping him along as they make way, guiding him by hand to Jesus. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, if you remember last Sunday, Jesus also asked James and John, "What do you want me to do for you?" And James and John said, "Oh, we were hoping for thrones," right? Instead, this blind man says, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus gave him his sight. He says, "Go, your faith has made you well." And the blind man regains his sight immediately. And where does he choose to go? He chooses to follow Jesus on the way. Last week, for 3 days, I was at Camp Allen for the annual clergy conference for the Diocese of Texas. Imagine 400 clergy, deacons, priests, and bishops of all ages gathering together for worship, education, and the bishop providing us with a vision for the future. It's a time for the clergy of the diocese to be reinvigorated and get some of those CEUs, those continuing education credits, and be energized to come back and serve. The very youngest people at that conference were Matt Wise, Reverend Matt Wise, who is the chaplain for Texas A&M, his two twin babies that were 7 weeks old. So periodically, you'd be in some huge meeting and you'd hear the cries of these infants in the hall. In addition, for the second or third year in a row, we have had the diocese, the reconstituted Diocese of Fort Worth, join us to use our resources. It's a teeny diocese, and so 15 priests were there in addition to their bishop. And they were there to take part in our worship, and I'm sure they had their own separate meetings as well. So October 21st, that Back to the Future Day, was when the bishop gave us his vision for the future. He talked a lot about our current main style of providing church, of being church. He calls that the attractional church, in which we hope to provide a very attractive institution or family that other people want to come in and join us. He says that is really the main model that we are able to provide at this time. And he says, you know, that model is going to continue long before the end of this generation. He said, though, if you are an attractional church, here are the things you need to do. You need to provide a very clean environment. And I think we do a good job at that. Clean and beautiful. He said, you know, the challenge of the attractional church is also to provide resources for different age groups, and we do our best at that. We really do. Of course, we're to be very welcoming for those who come into those front doors. And also, he said, do your best, he said to the priests, just try to be a good preacher. I guess that'll turn people away if you aren't. But he said the future of the church is to be increasingly missional, going out to where people are and meeting them where they are to tell the story of God in our lives, telling how we've been saved and transformed by God, those details of our lives, those stories that we have, and be focused less on maintaining the infrastructure of the church that we have. Of course, we know this is a model of the extremely early church. It was missional. And he would like all clergy, every church, to really ponder this challenge for the future and wonder and pray about where we are called to go and to be, who we are to be present with. And as a side comment, as the child of evangelistic missionaries who went to Ecuador, this sounds familiar. It almost sounds like we're going to go back and do something people used to consider old-fashioned, to go out and be where the people are who need the story of God. How does the story of Jesus coming into Jericho and then coming out and meeting the blind man pull at us? This blind man who waited all the years in the dust shouts his plea louder and louder, calling for Jesus. Are we that blind man waiting? And the crowd shushed him. Are we the crowd trying to keep the blind man from ruining that special moment that we want for ourselves with Jesus? The blind man continued to cry out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heard him. He became very still. Did you ever wonder that when God is silent, God is actually listening? And Jesus sends the crowd to bring the blind man to him. The crowd changes their purpose, doing what Jesus wants them to do. They pass the message back to this man and encourage him and bring him back to Jesus. It is the crowd out there in the dust with Jesus who make that connection between the two. They go to him and say, take heart, get up. He is calling you. I think we can be that crowd and do what Jesus wants us to do. May we pass on to the blind and the desperate the message that Jesus is telling us to share. Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. Amen.